your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. And have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slagging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Good evening, and welcome to Runner for Christ Ministries Blog Talk Radio Bible Reading Class. My name is Mackie, and I will be your teacher for the book of Judges. We thank God for each and every one of you who have tuned in, and we ask that you let someone else know about this Bible reading class. This evening, we will open with prayer, and following prayer, we will begin the Bible reading portion of this class. After that, we will open the phone lines for you to ask the review questions or make comments. All you have to do is press 1 to enter the host queue. And you can find the review questions at rfcm.org. And we ask that you please keep all background noise to zero if possible. Thank you. Now let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. We ask now that the Holy Spirit illuminates your word so that we all can live it out in our everyday lives. We ask you to bless us, Lord, to understand your word. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we will listen to chapters 11 through 16, and we'll see you on the other side.
Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also bore him sons, and when they were grown up, they drove Jephthah away. "You are not going to get any inheritance in our family," they said, "because you are the son of another woman." So Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob, where a gang of scoundrels gathered around him and followed him. Sometime later, when the Ammonites were fighting against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. "Come," they said, "be our commander so we can fight the Ammonites." Jephthah said to them, "Didn't you hate me and drive me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you're in trouble?" The elders of Gilead said to him, "Nevertheless, we are turning to you now. Come with us to fight the Ammonites, and you will be head over all of us who live in Gilead." Jephthah answered, "Suppose you take me back to fight the Ammonites and the Lord gives them to me. Will I really be your head?" The elders of Gilead replied, "The Lord is our witness. We will certainly do as you say." So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them, and he repeated all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Then Jephthah sent messengers to the Ammonite king with the question, "What do you have against me that you have attacked my country?" The king of the Ammonites answered Jephthah's messengers, "When Israel came up out of Egypt, they took away my land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, all the way to the Jordan. Now give it back peaceably." Jephthah sent back messengers to the Ammonite king, saying, "This is what Jephthah says: Israel did not take the land of Moab or the land of the Ammonites. But when they came up out of Egypt, Israel went through the wilderness to the Red Sea and on to Kadesh. Then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, 'Give us permission to go through your country.' But the king of Edom would not listen. They sent also to the king of Moab, and he refused. So Israel stayed at Kadesh. Next, they traveled through the wilderness, skirted the lands of Edom and Moab, passed along the eastern side of the country of Moab, and camped on the other side of the Arnon. They did not enter the territory of Moab, for the Arnon was its border. And Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon, and said to him, 'Let us pass through your country to our own place.' Sihon, however, did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. He mustered all his troops and encamped at Jahaz and fought with Israel. Then the Lord, the God of Israel, gave Sihon and his whole army into Israel's hands, and they defeated them. Israel took over all the land of the Amorites who lived in that country, capturing all of it from the Arnon to the Jabbok and from the desert to the Jordan. Now since the Lord, the God of Israel, has driven the Amorites out before his people Israel, what right have you to take it over? Will you not take what your God Chemosh gives you? Likewise, whatever the Lord our God has given us, we will possess. Are you any better than Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever quarrel with Israel or fight with them? For 300 years Israel occupied Heshbon, Aroer, the surrounding settlements, and all the towns along the Arnon. Why didn't you retake them during that time? I have not wronged you, but you are doing me wrong by waging war against me. Let the Lord, the judge, decide the dispute this day between the Israelites and the Ammonites." The king of Ammon, however, paid no attention to the message Jephthah sent him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from there he advanced against the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, "If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering." Then Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into his hands. He devastated 20 towns from Aroer to the vicinity of Manith as far as Abel Keramim. Thus Israel subdued Ammon. When Jephthah returned to his home in Mizpah, who should come out to meet him but his daughter, dancing to the sound of timbrels? She was an only child. Except for her, he had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and cried, "Oh no, my daughter, you have brought me down and I am devastated. I have made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break." "My father," she replied, "you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me just as you promised. Now that the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the Ammonites. But grant me this one request," she said. "Give me 2 months to roam the hills and weep with my friends because I will never marry." "You may go," he said. and he let her go for 2 months. She and her friends went into the hills and wept because she would never marry. After the 2 months, she returned to her father, and he did to her as he had vowed, and she was a virgin. From this comes the Israelite tradition that each year the young women of Israel go out for 4 days to commemorate the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite. Judges 12. The Ephraimite forces were called out, and they crossed over to Zephon. They said to Jephthah, "Why did you go to fight the Ammonites without calling us to go with you? We're going to burn down your house over your head." Jephthah answered, "I and my people were engaged in a great struggle with the Ammonites, and although I called, you didn't save me out of their hands. When I saw that you wouldn't help, I took my life in my hands and crossed over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave me the victory over them. Now why have you come up today to fight me?" Jephthah then called together the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. The Gileadites struck them down because the Ephraimites had said, "You Gileadites are renegades from Ephraim and Manasseh." The Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan leading to Ephraim, and whenever a survivor of Ephraim said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead asked him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he replied, "No," they said, "All right, say Shibboleth." If he said Sibboleth because he could not pronounce the word correctly, they seized him and killed him at the fords of the Jordan. 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. Jephthah led Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried in a town in Gilead. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem led Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He gave his daughters away in marriage to those outside his clan, and for his sons he brought in 30 young women as wives from outside his clan. Ibzan led Israel 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Elon, the Zebulunite, led Israel 10 years. Then Elon died and was buried in Ajalon in the land of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, son of Hillel, from Pirathon, led Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. He led Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, died and was buried at Pirathon in Ephraim in the hill country of the Amalekites. Judges 13. Again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah, named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You will become pregnant and have a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from the womb until the day of his death.'" Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I beg you to let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born." God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, "He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day." Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, "Are you the man who talked to my wife?" "I am," he said. So Manoah asked him, "When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule that governs the boy's life and work?" The angel of the Lord answered, "Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her." Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you. The angel of the Lord replied, Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord. Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, What is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true? He replied, Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding. Then Manoah took a young goat, together with the grain offering, and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. We are doomed to die, he said to his wife. We have seen God. But his wife answered, If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahane Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Judges 14. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother replied, Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, Get her for me. She's the right one for me. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass, and in it he saw a swarm of bees and some honey. He scooped out the honey with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now his father went down to see the woman, and there Samson held a feast, as was customary for young men. When the people saw him, they chose 30 men to be his companions. Let me tell you a riddle, Samson said to them. If you can give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. Tell us your riddle, they said. Let's hear it. He replied, Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. For 3 days they could not give the answer. On the fourth day they said to Samson's wife, Coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to steal our property? Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, You hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't even explained it to my father and mother, he replied. So why should I explain it to you? She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. So on the seventh day he finally told her, because she continued to press him. She in turn explained the riddle to her people. Before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson said to them, If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of everything, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. burning with anger, he returned to his father's home, and Samson's wife was given to one of his companions who had attended him at the feast. Judges 15. Later on, at the time of wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. He said, "I'm going to my wife's room," but her father would not let him go in. "I was so sure you hated her," he said, "that I gave her to your companion. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead." Samson said to them, "This time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them." So he went out and caught 300 foxes and tied them tail to tail in pairs. He then fastened a torch to every pair of tails, lit the torches, and let the foxes loose in the standing grain of the Philistines. He burned up the shocks and standing grain together with the vineyards and olive groves. When the Philistines asked, "Who did this?" they were told, "Samson, the Timnite's son-in-law, because his wife was given to his companion." So the Philistines went up and burned her and her father to death. Samson said to them, "Since you've acted like this, I swear that I won't stop until I get my revenge on you." He attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. Then he went down and stayed in a cave in the rock of Etam. The Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lahai. The people of Judah asked, "Why have you come to fight us?" "We have come to take Samson prisoner," they answered, "to do to him as he did to us." Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us?" He answered, "I merely did to them what they did to me." They said to him, "We've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines." Samson said, "Swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves." "Agreed," they answered. "We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and led him from the rock. As he approached Lahai, the Philistines came toward him shouting. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, "With a donkey's jawbone I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone I have killed 1,000 men." When he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramath Lahai. Because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord, "You have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" Then God opened up the hollow place in Lahai, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned, and he revived. So the spring was called En Hakor, and it is still there in Lahai. Samson 16. One day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn, we'll kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength, and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength, and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then, with men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, "All this time you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied." He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with the pin. Again she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head was shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding grain in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my 2 eyes." Then Samson reached toward the 2 central pillars on which the temple stood. Bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other, Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah his father. He had led Israel 20 years.
All right, that concludes the Bible reading portion. Now we'll get into the questions. And just remember, if you would like to participate, just press 1 to get into the host queue. We'll start with question number 1. Is there proof of Jephthah's reputation as a mighty warrior?
All right. What'd you do, Ben?
Nothing. That would be chapter 11, first verse. Give me 1 second. How are you doing, Deacon Mackey?
All right, you, brother.
All right. All right. Just one second. All right. Okay, I'm too far. All right. And, okay, now Joseph of Gilead was a great warrior. He was the son of Gilead, but his mother was a prostitute.
Okay, and then, now, if you look down at verse 3, that's what I had as the answer, because it shows you that he had a reputation. Because it says, Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob, where a gang of scoundrels gathered around him and followed him. I chose that as my answer because it shows that he fled from where he lived. And where he fled to, you know, you got a whole gang of another group, and they followed behind him.
Okay. So that would be verse 3?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right. Question number 2. What happened when Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites?
Okay, that would be 11, 19 to 22.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. 11, 19, 22. Sorry, we just not
that's
prepared.
All right.
But
yeah,
yeah
no
we just want to let you know that it is somebody in the class.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Okay, 11, 19 to 22. It says, then the Israel sent messengers to King Sihon of the Amorites, who ruled from Hasmon, asking for permission to cross through the land to get there to their destination. But the King Sihon didn't trust Israel to pass through his land. Instead, he immobilized his army at Zahaz and attacked them. But the Lord, the God of Israel, gave his people victory over King Sihon, so Israel took control of all of the land of the Amorites who lived in that region, from the Arnon River to the Jabbok River, and from the eastern wilderness to the Jordan. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Question number 3. How do we know Jephthah and his family were faithful to God?
Let me see. I might get an answer to that. I'm just getting in. So,
all right.
How do we know Jephthah? So I think that's 11:34-40. Is that right?
11:34. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So it says, his daughter came out to meet him, playing on a tambourine and dancing for joy. She was his one and only child. He had no other sons or daughters. When he saw her, he tore his clothes in anger. Oh, my daughter, he cried out, you have completely destroyed me. You brought disaster on me. For I have made a vow to the Lord, and I cannot take it back. And she said, Father, if you have made a vow to the Lord, you must do to me what you have vowed. For the Lord has given you a great victory over your enemy, the Amorites. But first let me do this one thing. Let me go up and roam in the hills and weep with my friends for 2 months, because I will die a virgin. You may go, Jephthah said. And he sent her away for 2 months. She and her friends went into the hills and wept because she would never have children. When she returned home, her father kept the vow he had made, and she died a virgin. So it has become a custom in Israel for young Israelite women to go away for 4 days each year to lament and the fate of the Jephthah daughter, like a memorial.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Question number four. What was the result after the threat from the Ephraimites?
Before we go to question number four, I got a there was a question on number three. Why would Jephthah make a deal like that? And did God accept his sacrifice of his own daughter to fulfill his vow? Scholars still argue about that today. Jephthah was definitely a man of faith, and he probably did want to honor God by sacrificing whatever came out the door and fulfilling a vow was a high priority in ancient times. And Jephthah probably was afraid of breaking his vow, even though it meant the death of his daughter. But a lot of folks think that he did take an alternate action. Okay, he may have, in fact, some think it is not absolutely clear that he kept his vow. His sacrifice may have been to dedicate his daughter to the Lord for lifelong service and perpetual virginity. However, since he had vowed to sacrifice a burnt offering, this explanation seems unlikely. So we cannot make vows that involves the death of somebody else. God will never, ever accept a human sacrifice. In fact, in Leviticus 18, 21 and 20, 21 through 5, he clearly disapproves of that. He even tells the children of Israel not to sacrifice their kids to Chemosh in the fire. So just for the question's sake, no, God does not accept human sacrifice. Did he really do this? Did he not do it? If he did, it's a horrible thing. It's going to come up again later. A king is going to make a vow similar to this, which will involve the death of his son. And, of course, that's not going to happen. So it's not clear that it actually happened here, and it's not clear that it didn't. But the point is, we can never make vows. I vow to God, I swear on my kid's life. I swear on my mother's life. You know, God will never accept the sacrifice of a human being, even though we did make a vow and the Lord clearly told us to keep our vows, and especially in ancient times. You remember when Herod said that I'll give you up to half my kingdom after the daughter danced for him, and that ended up with John the Baptist losing his head. So vows can be made like that, but when it involves somebody else's life, God won't go for that. Just wanted to put that out there because the question, you know, just for the question's sake.
So
thank you.
So did he? What was the ideal of her being coming out the house first? Was somebody else supposed to come out the house?
Well, he made a deal with God, and God blessed him to get the victory over the Ammonites. And he said, I will give the Lord whatever comes out of my house to meet me when I get home in triumph. And I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. That's the vow he made. Now, I don't know who he thought would be coming out of his house.
Right.
His wife. You know, it's not like a servant's going to come running out. I think he's trying to get rid of his wife, you know, get back home. His wife come running out. Oh, baby, I'd have made a vow. But he probably didn't think it would be his daughter. I don't know who he thought was going to come running out.
But
it didn't work out.
I never looked at it like that until you said that. Yeah, who was he expecting to come out of his house?
Yeah, I was
you know,
like,
this
she
is
came
your
down,
house.
She acted like she was in on it, too. She was like, well, that's okay, you know.
No, and she knew the severity of the vow.
He was upset about it. He tore his clothes. So, yeah, who did he think was going to come out? I don't know if they had a dog or the cows be living in the house and they were going to come out.
That was a pet pig.
Now,
boy,
I
I like that. The Israelites, you know, the pet, you know, bird or something come flying out. I don't know what he thought, a mouse. I don't know what he thought was going to come running out.
I never looked at that question.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe that's why he not supposed to make them kind of deals. Did he think that they was going to lose the battle or something? He didn't trust God that they was going to win the battle or what?
They have the first five books of Moses. Remember Jacob still? God said, I'm going to do this, this, and this. Jacob says, well, if you do all of that and I come back to my father's house and I'm not dead, then I'll give you a tenth. He made a vow, a deal with God like that. But those, God don't want us making deals with him.
Right.
Back in the day, they say don't be writing checks you can't cash. So right. that's the check you don't want to write because you can't cover that. I mean, right. It's going to come up again, though. Uh-huh. Only this time a king is going to do it. But it won't cost him his son because a wonderful thing is people are going to be in love with that son. So, and they're going to tell the king, you out your mind. That ain't even happening.
So is that the same thing when people say, I swear over my kids or, you know, something like that? Or,
I swear
on
my mother.
Off of that. Mm-hmm.
Put it on my father.
Thing?
You know, I hope my kids ain't that. If I don't, you can go over there and kill my dad. Don't swear that.
Uh-huh.
yourself. Swear for yourself.
Yeah, well, for God. That was a good question. I was wondering about that one.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks, Pastor O.
You're welcome. Thanks for allowing me.
All right, question number four. What was the result after the threat from the Ephraimite forces?
I have chapter 12, verse 4.
Okay, go ahead.
The people of the Ephraim responded, "You men of Gilead are nothing but more than fugitives from the Ephraim and Manasseh." So Japheth gathered all the men of Gilead and attacked the men of Ephraim and defeated them. No?
Yep. I just had it through 7. Through 6. Will you read through 6 for me?
Okay, yes, sir. Japheth captured the shallow crossings of the Jordan River, and whenever a fugitive from Ephraim tried to go back across, the men of Gilead would challenge him. "Are you a member of the tribe of Ephraim?" they would ask. And if the man said, "No, I'm not," they would tell him to say, "Shibboleth." If he was from Ephraim, he would say, "Sibboleth," because people from Ephraim could not pronounce the word correctly. Then they would take him and kill women. Then they would take him and kill him at the shallow crossing of the Jordan River. In all, 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. Japheth judged Israel for 6 years. When he died, he was buried in one of the towns of Gilead. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
So you have 4 through 7, you said.
Yes.
Okay. All right. 4 through 7. All right. Thank you.
All right. Number 5. Was Manoah confident he could follow the Lord's instructions?
Was Manoah confident he could follow the Lord's instructions?
Let me see. I
had number 8.
Okay.
You are correct, sir.
After Jacob died, Ibzan from Bethlehem judged Israel. There's more than that? I can say, do I have the right number? 12,
8? Took it to
14. 13, 8.
Uh-huh.
Okay, my bad. 13, 8
to 14.
Yeah, hold it. There we go. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, saying, "Lord, please let the man of God come back to us again and give us more instructions about his son, who is to be born. Yes. That don't sound right.
Right. Well, no, he didn't have confidence because his wife had already told him what the angel of the Lord said, but he requested that he come back and tell him again.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yep. 8:45, 8. Let me see. Was my Lord confident he could solve Moses' problem? I said 8.
I was.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. So I was right on 8. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
Was it 13:8, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When I said 12, that's what I did. That's what I messed up.
Question number 6. When did Manoah realize he had spoken with the angel of the Lord?
Okay.
And that would be 13:19-21.
Right.
And so it says, then Manoah took a young goat and a grain offering and offered it on a rock as a sacrifice to the Lord. And as Manoah and his wife watched, the Lord did an amazing thing. As the flames from the altar shot up towards the sky, the angel of the Lord ascended in the fire. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell to their faces to the ground.
Right.
The angel did not appear again, and Manoah and his wife Manoah finally realized it was the angel of the Lord. And he said to his wife, "We will certainly die, for we have seen God."
Yeah, all right. Okay, thank you.
Isn't it amazing how God reveals himself to people who want to see God, and then when he do reveal himself, people feel like they're getting ready to die. That's an amazing thing. That is the first, when I finally realized it was Jesus talking to me today, he called me to preach, I thought I was getting ready to die. I knew immediately that he knew I wasn't perfect and all of my crap. Because of something he said to me, then he had to know everything. And I just assumed I was getting ready to die, and he just wanted me to know, just before you die, I want you to know I'm real. But that wasn't what happened. But it's amazing how when he appears, people think they're going to die, but they ask to see him. They want to. And when he shows up, I don't know what it is about his presence that makes you feel like you're getting ready to die. But after it don't happen, then you get to know that God talks to people.
Or
his son. With us today, it's Jesus through the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And that day, it was God sending Jesus in some form to literally talk to people. And when they realized, like Gideon, when he realized it was the Lord, I done talked with the Lord, I'm finna die. And here we are with Manoah. I done talked with the Lord. Both of us, I don't even know why you had me to call him back, blaming his wife. Because if we hadn't called him back, then we wouldn't be dying. First you was going to die. Now we both dying. Amen.
Would that apply to, like, dreams, too?
When God shows up, however he shows up, it's, we want him to show up, but when he shows up, it's some kind of amazing, and it just, it'll do something to you. But after a while, you get used to it. But it's always strange.
Do you mean like, like if you pray to God for something and he give it to you, or you get to see what you pray, is that the same thing?
You remember when Isaac sent Abraham sent his servant to get a wife for Isaac, and the servant got there and started praying, and then before his prayer was through, here comes Rebecca. And even before he could get through asking, here comes Rebecca. So God will sometimes do stuff like that, or he'll do you like he did Jacob. You'll wake up and see a ladder going from earth to heaven. So he can come to you in a dream, or any way he wants to, but you'll know it was him. When he does it, you'll know he did it.
That's
because
why you're careful what you ask for.
Your situation will probably be so crapped out. You know, the only way you got out of that was him. Or the only way you got through it was him.
Okay.
That's true.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Number 7. How do you know Manoah and his wife knew the word of God?
I got 13:23 myself.
Yep.
Yes.
I have put 22 and 23. But that's it.
Yep. If I go to 22, then I got to go to 21.
Right. Okay.
Would you read it for us, please? Yes, the angel did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Manoah finally realized it was the angel of the Lord, and he said to his wife, "We will certainly die, for we have seen God." But his wife said, "If the Lord were going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted our burnt offering and grain offering. He wouldn't have appeared to us and told us the wonderful thing and done these miracles." Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
What was that again, Eric?
What was the number? Chapter 13, verses 21 through 23.
Oh, okay. All right.
And good afternoon, Dr. Welch.
Good afternoon to you, too. I'm sitting here listening, trying to participate, and trying to get these Christmas cards done at the same time.
All right. Number 8. Was Samson boastful to his parents about his God-given strength?
All right.
I had 14, 5, and 6.
And 7.
That's correct.
Okay. It says, as Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easy as if it were a young goat, but he didn't tell his father and mother about it. When Samson arrived in Timnah, he talked with the woman and was very pleased with her. Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. Thank you. We'll go to number 9. Why did Samson reveal the answer to his riddle?
That would be 14 verses 16 and 17.
Okay.
That is correct, sir.
Okay. So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, "You don't love me. You hate me. You have given my people a little, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't even given the answer to my father or mother," he replied. Why should I tell you?" So she cried whenever she was with him and kept it for the rest of the celebration. At last, on the 7th day, he told her the answer. Because she was tormenting him with her nagging. Then she explained the riddle to the young man. Amen.
Amen. She kept nagging and crying for 7 days. He just gave up, huh?
Sweet boy.
All right. Question number 10. What happened due to Samson's anger?
19:20.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and it says, it Jesus. Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down through the town of Ascalon, killed 30 men, took their belongings, and gave their clothing to the men who had stolen his riddle. But Samson was furious about what had happened, and he went back home to live with his father and mother. So his wife was given in marriage to the man who had been Samson's best man at the wedding.
All right, thank you. Question number 11. What happened when Samson found out about his wife?
Chapter 15, verses 3 through 5, I have. Let me tell
you. That's what I have.
Okay,
yes,
well, if Dr. Welch got it, I must be right.
So you on track, huh?
Yeah. You know, we ain't got Reese to fill in the blank.
I
do too. I really do. Samson said, this time I could not. Wait a minute, am I on the right? Yeah. Samson said, this time I cannot be blamed for everything I am going to do to you Philistines. Then he went out and caught 300 foxes. He tied their tails together in pairs, and he fastened a torch to each pair of their tails. Each pair of tails, I'm sorry. Then he lit the torches and let the foxes run through the grain fields of the Philistines. He burned all their grain to the ground, including the sheaves and the uncut grain. He also destroyed their vineyards and olive groves. Amen?
Man. Brother was a little upset.
A little upset. But what the Fox is the one that caught the worst part of it.
I was going to say, that should have been upset.
Yeah, them Foxes caught the rough end of the blow.
Yeah. All right. Number 12. Did the people of Judah fear Samson?
11 through 13. Okay. I have 15, and I had 11 through 13. Wait a minute, 11 through 13.
13, that's what
yeah.
I have.
That's what I have, too.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, okay. So men of Judah went down to get Samson at the cave in the rock of Etam. They said to Samson, don't you realize the Philistines rule over us? What are you doing to us? But Samson replied, I only did to them what they did to me. But the men of Judah told him, we have come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines. All right, Samson said, but promise that you won't kill me yourselves. We will only tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines, they replied. We won't kill you. So they tied him up with the new ropes and brought him up from the rock. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, man. You know, they had to be scared if they brought 3,000 people.
Yeah.
But one man.
Well, he was known to be super strong, so yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. All right. Number 13. Is there proof that no matter your problem or your enemy, God can bring you through?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the way that sounds.
Well, I had same chapter 15. Mm-hmm. I had 18 through 20.
You had 18 through 20? Okay.
Yeah.
15,
14 through 16. No.
Okay. Let me hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wrong.
That's what I had.
Okay, so 15, 14 through 16 says, as Samson arrived at Lehi, the Philistines came shouting in triumph, but the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson, and he snapped the rope on the arms as if they were burnt strands of flax, and they fell from his wrist. Then he found the jawbone of a recently killed donkey. He picked it up and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, I've piled them in heaps. With the jawbone of a donkey, I've killed 1,000 men.
Okay.
All right.
I was wrong then. Okay.
I know. I didn't have that one either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, the question, let me see, what was that question? What number was that?
13.
13?
13. Yeah. I thought you were looking for a scripture. You know, I wasn't sure on that one.
Okay, and what did you have for your answer?
Who are you talking to?
I didn't get it because I wasn't sure, I thought you was looking for a scripture rather than, somewhere else in the Bible other than right there where we were reading. Yeah.
I get you. It was the way it was worded.
Yeah. Okay. So I just put a question mark by that one. That's why I didn't try to answer it. Yeah. Okay.
I understand.
But what were the actual answers?
Chapter 15, verses 14 through 16.
Okay.
And reason why I asked that question and then chose those verses because he clearly trusted them because he just asked them not to kill them and he had his enemies, but then he were friends with the people who came and tied him up. So even though facing those type of problems, when he made it to his enemies, God brought him through it. He released them and he was able to kill 1,000.
Okay.
Yeah, it says in the footnotes, it says the Lord's strength came upon Samson, but he was proud and boasted only of his own strength with the jawbone of the donkey. I killed 1,000 men. He said, pride can cause us to take credit for work we've done only because of God's strength. So, God brought him through, and he thought it was him.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank y'all very much.
All right. Okay, number 14. What was the Philistines' plan to take down Samson?
That would be chapter 15, 9-10.
You say again, I'm sorry.
That'd be chapter 15, verses 9 and 10.
Chapter 16, ain't it?
15, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yes, I had.
Which one
15.
Is it?
16
or
16? It's 16, but although I can see why you chose that, Oliver, because that was a plan they had there. But the answer I had chosen for 16. Did anyone else get it?
I had chapter 16 verses 1-3. Guess not.
No. Go ahead and read.
One day Samson went to the Philistine town of Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. Word soon spread that Samson was there, so the men of Gaza gathered together and waited all night at the town gates. They kept quiet during the night, saying to themselves, when the light of morning comes, we will kill him. But Samson stayed in bed only until midnight. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the town gate, including the two posts, and lifted them up, bar and all. He put them on his shoulders and carried them all the way to the top of the hill across from Hebron. That was me. That's the answer I had.
Okay.
Number what? Number 14?
Question number 14, yep. Did you have something different?
I thought they had the plans that they had.
I didn't go to 16 because I didn't think 16 was in the question, but I did see that in 16. I had 15, 11-13.
That was a typo I had. And actually, there are several different examples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, if you have something different, that's fine. Because what Eric read was correct, and like you say, there's other examples if you go back in recent chapters. And then I had 4 through 5, where it says, sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver.
Okay, and like I said, for mine, for 1 through 3, because in verse 1, they sent him to something. Now, 2, the word soon spread that Samson was there, so the men of Gaza gathered together. That's the reason I picked that one, because they had made a plan to get him, and they stayed wherever they were until he came out.
Yeah, so you're right as well. That answer just it has several different answers you can choose from.
Okay, all right.
Because the next 4 questions all came from 16, and we were looking at we was only supposed to do 5, 11 through 15.
That's my fault. It was a slight typo when I submitted the questions to Pastor Owen. I didn't catch it until after he had already posted it.
Okay, so it's
administrative. That's an administrative error.
Yeah, okay. And you are correct, sir. if you don't have answers for the last few questions, that's understandable because of my error on my part.
Okay, because I didn't answer them because I wasn't sure. I didn't want to be like with my class.
I understand. I'll read the questions and I'll give the answers that I have.
Okay.
And I'll make sure there are no typos on the next set of questions.
Okay.
So number
Thanks,
15.
Chairman.
No problem. Number 15 was just to complete the verse. So that answer comes from. Yeah. Yep. There's go ahead.
Oh, okay. I know it's not really great. Let me go to 16. It says,
where are you reading that, sister?
16:16. It says, where's my God? She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it.
Exactly.
Then Delilah pouted. How can you tell me I love you when you don't share your secrets with me? You've made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it. So that was 16,
mm-hmm.
16 in chapter 16.
Right.
Amen.
Man.
Is that how
we do it,
y'all? We nag.
I'm gonna go ahead.
Yeah, that's how my bedroom, kitchen, and hallway leading to the basement got painted.
Well, I'll say it like this. If it worked for them in the Bible, it'll work for us now.
Oh, my God. Wow.
See how easy you brothers get pulled into that trap? I was trying to move to the next question, and y'all weren't giving any answer.
Yes, that led to the porch getting painted, led to new porch posts, and led to nine slips put on the steps. All that.
That's
right.
Keep on going.
Right. My dad used to say, be like Nike, just do it.
Yeah, right.
Much easier.
Just do it.
Okay. Question number 16. What happened when the Lord left Samson?
Chapter 16, verse 21.
All right. Go ahead, brother.
So the Philistines captured him, gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're so welcome.
And the last question of this evening, number 17, how was Samson able to gain strength again, and what did he do?
Okay.
Is that in 15 or 16?
Because
I got
15, 18 through 20.
This is chapter 17. Question 17.
Yeah, so I got 15, 18 through 20.
Okay. No, the answer is
it's in 16.
In chapter 16.
Okay.
Verses 28 through 30 says, then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord,
okay,
remember me. Yep. Please,
yeah,
God, strengthen me just once more. And let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on one, his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he was alive. So, you know, Samson, he prayed to the Lord one more time, and the Lord gave him strength one last time.
Amen.
Any more questions or comments over anything that we covered this evening?
Mm-hmm. You know, when we study the Bible like this, I don't understand how people cannot believe it's true when you're still living and doing the same exact thing that they did back then.
Right.
And it just amazed me at how much similarity it is and still in our lives as to the biblical time. And the only thing different is that we have technology. And so there's really no reason for you not to know the word.
Right.
Because it's right at your fingertips.
Yeah, I agree. Because if you look at it, you know, all the problems that they went through and had, it's the same thing today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, some people just refuse to believe.
Yeah, well, like Pastor been saying all the time, if you don't take your kids and teach them the Word of God, then they don't have anything to refer to or go back to. You know, you have to be introduced to it. So a lot of them are not even introduced to it. That's why this world is just kind of going to kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, well,
Yeah, that's why it's important to spread the word so people can get it. Jesus said in Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes by hearing. And so that means we have to proclaim the word. And that's when we properly use Romans 10:9, what we believe in our hearts about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We confess that out of our mouth, and that leads us into a deeper relationship with God. That's really the real understanding of that passage, because he was talking to saved people. And he was saying, he concluded by saying, consequently, faith comes by hearing, and that the word of God or the gospel. So that's why it's important that every way we can, we proclaim the gospel. Whether it's just a post on Facebook or even going to our website and sharing the salvation page, you have no idea how many people that Jesus can reach with that simple message, and they accept him as their Lord and Savior. Even if they're sitting in a room and they just happen to see your post on Facebook, and at that moment they give their life to Christ. You might not ever know that, but it could happen. But Jesus knows it. And Jesus knows that that person was on would see your timeline, and he just made everything work out just like that. Well, of course, when you get to heaven and we get into this week's lesson and on Wednesday, we'll be talking about the rewards that we get. There you will know because you will be rewarded for it. So that's why it's important for us to get the word out there. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw. Only the Holy Spirit can convict somebody of sin, but we can sure enough plant a seed. We can sure enough talk again to somebody we've already talked to. That's called watering the seed. You don't need to replant the seed. You just need to water it. I got a friend who's come as far as believing in God. The next step is to get him to believe in Christ. You know, so I planted the seed. Now every time we get a chance and the Lord gives me opportunity, I try to bring Jesus up. But he loves God, but he ain't feeling white Jesus yet. So I got a little work to do. Well, the Holy Spirit got some work to get him, you know, to fall in love with white Jesus. Really ain't white, he's Jewish. But anyway, so it's important that we do that until we leave here. And this Wednesday's lesson is really going to lay that out, the responsibility that we have.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Pastor. Thank everyone that participated this evening, helping me get through this lesson, and all those who are listening. And next week, next Monday, we will be going through chapters 17 through 21. And so now, if that's all, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time with fellow believers, Father God, and being able to answer the questions and stimulate more questions and answer them, Father God. I pray that we all get this information, we learn more, and as the pastor said, we take it out and we plant seeds. We let the Holy Spirit guide us so we can do your work and spread your word, Father God. And we thank you for all this we have gone over this evening, and pray that your will be done with it, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Just quickly, on Wednesday, we're going to be doing the church, the body and bride of Christ, and her reward. I did the study this morning. It's kind of a lot of reading, but it's good. It's exciting. It's all the way through. It's stuff that you're really going to want to know because it'll help you understand our position in Christ and how the church at the same time is the bride of Christ and what that means. And then we'll get into the rewards. It's as if it's not enough for us to be saved without doing anything to earn it or merit it, just freely given to us. God also, with the gifts that he gave us, if we operate in those gifts, he plans to reward us for that. And those rewards are not like the ones you get here. God can bless you here, but if you pass away today, it's all gone. Okay? But the rewards that we get from using well the things that God give us here earns us eternal treasure in heaven. True riches, as Luke 16 calls it, that we won't ever lose, but we'll get to keep forever. And I kind of believe that reward is probably going to be a position, a service to Christ, because I asked the Lord one day, since we was reading through Revelation and we got to 21 and 2 in a description of the New Jerusalem, And he knew I was having a question in my head about it. because I was thinking rewards. That's when we finally get our rewards. And I was like, well, Lord, if it's true that y'all use pure gold to make streets that you can see through, and he used giant pearls as a foundation for a fence post, and all these other rubies and things that ornate the New Jerusalem, what is a reward there? Because in our minds, rewards is houses, cars, clothes, money in the bank, so I can go in there and say, hey, Boobie, wake up, shorty, what you drink? You know, that's rewards for us. But that stuff in heaven is all provided, all free. So what is the reward? And so this Wednesday's lesson will help you immensely in getting the answer to that question. So we'll see you on Wednesday for the church, the body, and the bride of Christ, and that reward. Because, you know, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 tells us that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive for the deeds done in this body, whether good or bad. So we're definitely going for rewards, and we'll get to see what that's all about. And when you know that, when they tell you on your job how much you're being paid, you know, sometimes that can help get you through the week, knowing the check is coming Friday. And so it's the same idea. If we keep heaven in our focus, in our view, and we keep laying up treasure there, we'll have our minds less on this world and more on that one, less on where we are temporarily and more where we're going to be eternally. Okay, so Wednesday, that's going to be discussion then. Amen. Okay. Did we pray out?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I got an old timer. Yeah, have a good night. Amen. And we'll see y'all on Wednesday. I always like to end with something special. And I was listening to this the other day. I was told I was doing too much at one time in my Christian life, which I really thought, really? I skip church every Sunday. But anyway, I was told I was doing too much, being extra, okay? But then I heard this song by Lecrae, and this one line in it that says, man, you're doing too much, you know. But it really blessed me, and it really helped me out. It's kind of funny, but it's a nice song. Amen. So we'll see y'all on Wednesday, God willing, and say the same thing.
I'm redeemed with faith. make it simple, make it plain. Christ came, emptied himself, and let our sin hang him. You couldn't blame him for any sin while they singing many men. The crucifixion was pretty grim. But when we state the fact that God resurrects, we get funny looks from a world who doesn't get that we are not David Koresh or Krishna or the people on TV who glorify in the bishop. From Edwards to Piper, MacArthur to Spurgeon, from Dallas to France, from Cali to Berlin, it's Christians all over who get in the word. And we ain't crazy, we just understand the truth and we burden. The world sees us evangelical Christians as narrow-minded fanatics with the mystical mission, labeled extremists for sharing our faith. But that's cool, we can carry the weight of persecution, cause earth is losing. And if we yelling the truth, we honored to be the people that our God's using. So keep it moving, cause if we yelling the truth, we honored to be the people that our God's using.
I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic. I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely great. I'm a fanatic.
They thought Jesus was out of his mind, they laughed and mocked him. Called him a cult leader and they tried to stop him. Pharisees said Christ got his power from Satan, hating on the very one that came to save him. Even after he rose, man, the world ain't changed. They still rejecting the name, still look at us strange. Still tell us without shame that our faith's insane. And they don't take all that to be a Christian, man. And it's hard when you're trying to reach your family and stuff. They say, man, you too spiritual, you doing too much. So we show them the love of Christ and living the light, so they can glorify God when they look at our life. And we win for sharing the truth and hearts get changed. We win if we're rejected because of his name. We win if seeds get planted and watered to grow. But even if we lost, we still be fanatical though.
I'm a F-A-N-A-C-I-C fanatic. I rep Christ till I D-I-E fanatic. I'm not extreme, I'm redeemed with faith to serve a God who's extremely